to Psalm chapter 39 to begin with. And these songs that we sang this morning were very much on purpose. This has been our theme this year. Nothing else really matters. Nothing else really matters. You only have one life. You've got one chance to live that life for Christ. And we ought to do so. We ought to do so. Live today making your life count for Jesus Christ. Because it's true, life is but a vapor. And I want to talk to you this morning about that as we come to the close of this year. I want to emphasize this theme in your heart and in our lives. Psalm chapter 39, let's stand together. Psalm chapter 39. You can live for all kinds of things. You can try to be successful in all sorts of things that this world would say matters. But if you fail at that which truly matters the most, then you've not been a success. I've told my kids different times, I don't want to succeed in life at the things that don't matter. I don't want to succeed in life at the things that don't matter. I pray that we'll really seek to live for Christ. Live our lives for Him. Psalm chapter 39 here, in verses 4 to 6. Psalm chapter 39 and verses 4 to 6, it says, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, just like the width of a hand, the span there. Life is so short, isn't it? But eternity is forever. It says, Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine ages as nothing before thee. To a God is eternal, whether you live 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, it's just nothing compared to a God who's had no beginning and no ending. It says, Verily every man at his best state is altogether vanity, Selah. Selah simply means pause and stop and think about that. Verse 6, Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. Sometimes people walk living their life just, you know, it's a show. It's about image. It's about what we portray and what we want people to think about us. People live for things many times wanting to keep up with others or wanting to have these things. Or we see advertisements or we see that so-and-so has something and we want this. And many times we live for things that are vain. Many times we live for things that really it's just so temporal. Whereas God wants us to learn to live for the eternal. We may live our life trying to heap up riches, trying to become as wealthy as we can, trying to get this and attain this and have this, and we pursue all these things, but yet they're not lasting. They're not lasting. In the end, nothing else matters. In the end, nothing else matters but what you've done for Christ. Let's pray together. Why don't you ask God to speak to your heart? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. I pray that you would speak to us in a powerful way that only you can. Spirit of God, challenge us, convict us. If the focus of our life is not what it ought to be, please change that. If, Lord, sometimes the things we live for are things that are just temporal and not eternal, Lord, please help us to value much more important what is great for eternity. What matters for eternity? Please, God, speak to us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. So often people live their lives pursuing things that really don't matter for eternity. Things that really don't matter for eternity. I want to share with you two simple thoughts in this message, and we'll eat lunch. Here's number one, very simply. Your end may be nearer than what you think. Your end may be nearer than what you think. I mean, the end of your life, it may be nearer than what you think. Sometimes we think, oh, I'll live to be an old man. I'll live to be an old lady. No, you're not guaranteed that. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed this week or this year. We have no idea when we're going to breathe our last breath and we're going to slip into eternity. And we need to make sure that we're living today, living every day of our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ, because your end, my end, may be nearer than what we think. Notice what the Bible says in James chapter 4, towards the very end of your Bible. James chapter 4 and verse number 14. Even the words of this verse, some of the words of this verse were a part of the song that we sang. But James chapter 4 and verse number 14 says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what this week holds. You don't know if an appointment with the doctor could lead to the discovery of some disease that will cut your life short. You don't know if on the way to work tomorrow you could be in a car accident that would take your life. You don't know any of that. Ye know not, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. Notice this question: for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. If you have the tea kettle going on the stove or these electric water boiler things we have nowadays, what happens from that? As the water is boiling, there's a vapor that comes up and you see it for just a moment and then it's gone. And God says about our life, what is your life? It's even but a vapor. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow, it's here now, but it's gone in just a moment. There's no guarantee for how long you're going to live. We need to live today for Jesus Christ. Live this week for the Lord Jesus Christ. Live each day of your life, not for self, but for the Lord. Your end may be nearer than what you think. My dad was a farmer in Oro Township. I grew up just on the south side of Orillia, Oro Line 11. My great-great-grandfather came from Scotland to that area, and we were generations of farmers. My dad was an ambitious farmer as a young boy even. His dad let him start raising purebred border collies, and he got to do that as a way that he as a boy and teenager could start earning his own money. So he would breed purebred border collies and sell those. And, he worked on the farm and worked with his dad, but he got married and got his own farm. And my dad was ambitious. We farmed a lot of acreage. You kind of owned your farm, but many times farmers, they rent property and they use that for things. We farmed cash crops, wheat, oats, and different things. We did a lot of sweet corn, all kinds of things. My dad, we still had dairy cattle, still had hogs. We had a lot of beef cattle on some different farms. My dad was very ambitious. Just right before he passed away, he had borrowed some money to try to build the farm greater. But he didn't know that at 45 years of age, he'd slip into eternity. My dad was killed in a farm accident, a tractor accident. The tractor rolled over into a ditch. You have no idea why that happens. That's not something my mom was expecting. I remember that day. I was in second grade. I was eating lunch. I know the room. I can picture it in my mind. My teacher coming in and saying, "Brian, I need you to come with me." And she took me upstairs to the pastor's office. And I go in the office, and there's my older brother and my older sister. And he sits us down with us and tells us that our dad was killed in a farm accident. Listen, life is but a vapor. Life is short. And it's so important, so vital that we live for the Lord Jesus Christ. December of 1991, my brother got married. My brother was about 7 years older than me. He was the person that led me to Christ. I remember the Sunday night at home in the bedroom that we shared, and he tried to share the gospel with me, and At one point, he said, do you want to be saved? And he said, you should go talk to Dad about it. And so I started to slip out of my bedroom to go across the hallway and talk to Dad. But my mom saw me getting out of bed and in the hallway, and she sent me back to bed. And so my brother, he shared the gospel with me that I'm sure I'd heard many times as a boy. And I remember that night kneeling beside my bed and praying and trusting Christ as my Savior. Well, that brother, that big brother, somebody that you look up to, especially when you don't have a father in the home. He was married in a beautiful wedding. He had just graduated from Bible college, got married around Christmas time. Big wedding, you know, lots of groomsmen and bridesmaids and a beautiful wife. And what a day of celebration. Hundreds of people there for the wedding and so on. Well, about 7 weeks after that day, hundreds of people gathered again for my brother's funeral. He was killed in a car accident out east of Toronto. Somebody ran a red light and hit his vehicle. And my brother was killed. Oh, we thought he had life ahead of him. Just graduated from Bible college, just got married, was hired by my home church. He was going to come back and work there as an assistant pastor. He had talent, he had charisma, he had great personality. He was such a wonderful people person and had all these hopes to serve the Lord in the ministry. But his life was taken from him just like that. What matters is that you live today for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, your end may be nearer than what you think. Your end may be nearer than what you think. Some of you saw on Facebook, I posted just a few weeks ago now, a message ended up being preached by a fellow named Andy Bailey. Andy Bailey was somebody that I went to Bible college with. You know, we knew each other. We worked together at times in the dormitories. I got married. He got married. I served the Lord up here. He served the Lord down in the States. And just a few weeks ago, his wife woke up and her husband had passed away. 44 years old, I think. Just in the middle of life, he'd served in one ministry for many years and then had moved out to Oregon to be an assistant pastor at a church there and just serving the Lord. And he has a wife and two daughters. And now his life is gone. Listen, your end may be nearer than what you think. For what is our life? It is even but a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. Listen, you don't know how much time you have. You don't know how long your life is going to be. And can I encourage you this morning? Live your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Live for God now. Don't say, well, I'll serve Him one day. I'll do that one day. No, do now the things for God that you ought to do. Make right with God the things that you ought to make right today. Serve Christ with all your heart today. Don't put it off. Live now for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because your end may be nearer than what you think. My second thought, if you'll turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, please. Ecclesiastes. In the Old Testament, if you find the book of Psalms, and right after that is Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. I want you to turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. The second simple point in the message is this. In the end, nothing else really matters except for what you did for Christ. I said, number one, your end may be nearer than what you think. And number two, in the end, nothing else really matters except for what you did for Christ. Here in the book of Ecclesiastes, we learn about a man by the name of King Solomon. And at the end of his life, looking back on his life, he's really looking back with regret on the years of his life. He regrets the fact that he had lived for things that really did not profit. Things that really did not matter. And notice what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. It says, what profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh. But the earth abideth forever. Down in verse 14. It says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity. It's empty, it's meaningless. And vexation of spirit. You know that some men spend their whole life working a job, working to please a boss, working to make money, or working to climb a corporate ladder, but does that really matter? In the end, Solomon realized that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Oh yes, you need to work a job and you need to provide for your family. That's important. The Bible teaches that. But life is not to be about just, I'm going to work 60, 80, 90, 100, 100 hours a week. I'm going to do all that I can to please a boss and climb a ladder and become wealthy and get all these things for myself. Life is supposed to be about living for the Lord, living for your God, living for your Savior, Jesus Christ. Sometimes people give more effort to pleasing a boss than they do to pleasing Jesus Christ. Solomon realized, I've lived for so many things, but they really don't profit. I'm going to pass away and another generation is going to come onto the scene and that's that. The work I've done, it'll be forgotten. Unless you live for things that are eternal. Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, down to verse number 16. Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 16 and 17, it says, I communed with my own heart. In other words, I had this conversation, discussion, this meditation thoughts with my own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. Some men, like King Solomon, they build a great estate. Some people, like Solomon did, they spend their life, much of their life, in learning and education. But if they've not lived for the Lord, then can I tell you something? None of that will matter. None of that will matter. It won't matter how great your estate is, you leave it behind. And depending on what you did and how much forethought you had, the government takes a big cut of it. Another generation takes it. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse number 1. It says, I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. The word mirth means amusements. It means pursuing things to make me happy. It's living a life of pursuing things just to make me happy. Amusements. As I go to now, prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? Solomon pursued things to make himself happy. He lived for amusements. He lived for entertainment. He lived for personal pleasure. But he realized now at the end of his life that it was only temporary. It never brought true fulfillment. There was still something missing in his life. Look at verse number 3, Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 3. It says, I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting myself, mine heart with wisdom and to lay hold on folly till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. You know, some people in our world today, they pursue alcohol, they pursue drugs, they pursue popularity or fame, they pursue wild parties thinking that this will make them happy. They live in an endless pursuit of these things, but sometimes these things just leave them with a hangover, or they leave them with regrets of what they might have done the night before. Listen, you will never find the true fulfillment in just simply living for the things that this world has to offer. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verses 4 through 11. Look at it with me. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 verses 4 through 11. Solomon says this, I made me great works. I builded me houses, plural. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water wherewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all they that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me.
And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. And then I looked, verse 11. Notice this. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity. It was all a vain show. It was all about image and appearance. It was all for what I looked like and what I could have and these temporary pleasures and so on. It left no fulfillment. It left me empty on the inside. It left a hollow feeling on the inside.
There was no profit under the sun. Solomon had built great businesses. Solomon had mansions and palaces and vacation cottages. He had beachfront property on the Mediterranean Sea. He had swimming pools and vineyards and orchards. He had hundreds of servants to take care of him and his properties. He had silver and gold and great treasures. He was a man of incredible wealth. He had his own private symphony orchestra, and he had choirs to perform and singers to sing and perform in his own home. Anything that he wanted, he could have it. But then Solomon started coming to the end of his life. And he realized that it was all vain. It was empty. It was meaningless. None of it was valuable. None of it was as important as what he had thought. It profited nothing. It meant nothing. Everything that Solomon had lived for, he realized it was really worth nothing. It was worth nothing. It had no eternal significance or value. Look with me in chapter 3, if you would. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2. It says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to be born and a time to die. Do you know God knows the date of your birth and God already knows the date of your death? It's not going to shock Him or surprise Him when you die. He knows the date of your death. Life is but a vapor. But a vapor. Your life is sure to end. You may think, oh, I got to live forever. I'm going to live a long time. I got lots of time ahead of me. You don't know how much time you have. These young people, they don't know how much time they have to live. Doesn't matter if you're 18, 25, 35, 55, 65. Doesn't matter how old you are in this room this morning. You don't know how much time you've got left. What will you live for? Your life is sure to end. It's sure to end. What are you going to live for between now and the day that you die? What are you going to live for? Who are you going to live for? Who are you going to live for? Yourself or the Lord? You know, when we die, we're not taking anything with us. We're not taking anything with us. Never in our city, I've seen funeral processionals, and never in our city have I yet seen, you know, a hearse from the funeral home. They're carrying a casket, and there'll be a U-Haul trailer hooked up to the back of it. When you die, you're not taking anything with you. It doesn't matter if they bury something with you in the grave, you're not taking any of it with you into eternity. You better live for God today. We better live for God today. Turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And we're going to read the conclusion of the whole matter. We're going to read the finality of all that Solomon said in this book. As he looked back on his life and he realized that the end of his life was coming near, and he realized he had lived for so many things that did not profit. They had no value. They left him empty. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Listen, live for God. Solomon's conclusion was this: live for God. Live for God today. Live your life for the Lord. You will be blessed on earth, and you will be rewarded for eternity if you have lived faithfully for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you this morning. Listen, look at me. I want to encourage you to invest your life in things that matter for eternity. Live today for God. Live today for the Lord Jesus Christ. Young people live for God. Middle-aged people live for God. Older people live for God. Because the end may be near. The end may be near. Invest your life in things that matter for eternity. Take time for God. Don't be too busy in your life for God. Don't be too busy in your life to pray, too busy to read your Bible, too busy to come to church, too busy to talk to God, too busy to walk with God. Take time for God. Seek to reach lost souls with the gospel. You know, the only thing you can take with you into eternity are things that are eternal. And the souls of men and women, boys and girls are eternal. And as we make effort to share the gospel with them, to share our faith with them, to witness to them, to try to encourage others to put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, hey, we can help take some people with us to heaven. To heaven. Live for things that are eternal. Serve Christ with your life. Only one life. So soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. When it comes to the end of your life, nothing else really matters. When it comes to the end of your life, nothing else really matters. In Psalm chapter 90, in verse number 12, it says this, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." The psalmist writes, says to God, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our heart unto wisdom." God, help us to understand that our days are numbered. Help us to understand that we only have so much time to live. Help us to understand that the end may be nearer than what we think. Teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts to do what is wise, to do what is good, to live for the Lord, to please Jesus Christ with our life. May we realize that our life is but a vapor. It passes by so quickly, and only what we've done for the Lord Jesus Christ will last. Charles Thomas Studd, often known as C.T. Studd, was born on December 2nd, 1860, and it was appointed unto him to die on July 16th, 1931. C.T. Studd was a British missionary and a cricketer. Is that how you'd say it? Is that what a cricket player is called? He was a cricket player. A very good cricket player. He was an athlete. In 1888, he married Priscilla Stewart, and their marriage produced four daughters and two sons who died in infancy. As a British Christian missionary to China, he was part of the Cambridge Seven and later was responsible for setting up the Heart of Africa Mission, which became the Worldwide Evangelization Crusade. As a cricket player, he played for England in the 1882 match won by Australia, which was the origin of the Ashes. Studd's wealthy father, Edward Studd, became a Christian during a D.L. Moody and Ira Sankey evangelistic campaign held in England. And a visiting preacher to the Studd home at Tidworth helped to convert the son, T.C.T. Studd, and his two brothers to faith while they were students at Eton College. According to his conversion story, the preacher asked him if he believed God's promises to give believers eternal life. And as Charles would only go so far as to profess that he believed Jesus Christ died, the guest preacher pressed the point, knowing that Charles needed to make a decision. And that night, he ended up believing on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. C.T. Studd later recalled the moment of his salvation. He said, "I got down on my knees and I did say thank you to God for dying for me so that I could have eternal life. And right then and there, joy and peace came into my soul. I knew then what it was like to truly be born again. And the Bible, which had been so dry to me before, became everything." C.T. Studd continued from Eton to Trinity College in Cambridge, where he graduated in 1883. In 1884, after his brother George was taken seriously ill, Charles was confronted by the question, "What is all the fame and flattery worth when a man comes to face eternity?" As a cricket player, C.T. Studd was one of the best in England. He had some fame. He said, "What's it all worth when a man comes to face eternity?" He had to admit that since his conversion 6 years earlier, he had been in an unhappy, backslidden state. As a result of the experience, he said, I know that cricket, playing cricket, would not last. And honor would not last. And nothing in this world would last, but that it was worthwhile living for the world to come. C.T. Studd emphasized the life of faith, believing that God would provide for a Christian's needs. His father died when he was in China, and he gave away all of his extremely rich inheritance left to him by his father. His father had been a very wealthy man. C.T. Studd ended up dividing up that inheritance that he received, and he gave it away and used it for the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, for the George Mueller missions work in orphanages in England, for George Holland's work with England's poor people in Whitechapel, and also to Booth Tucker for the Salvation Army outreach in India. C.T. Studd believed that God's purposes could be confirmed through providential coincidences, such as a sum of money being donated spontaneously at just the right moment. He encouraged Christians to take risks in planning missionary ventures, trusting in God to provide. C.T. Studd believed that missionary work was urgent. It was urgent. And that those who were unevangelized would be condemned to hell if they were not reached with the gospel. C.T. Studd continues to be remembered best for the poem he wrote, Only One Life, which will soon be passed. That poem inspired a song called Only One Life, written in 1973. It was sung this morning by the choir. C.T. Studd began ministry as an evangelist, and he eventually entered into missionary work. He decided to pursue his faith through missionary work in China and was one of the Cambridge Seven who offered themselves to assist Hudson Taylor for missionary service at the China Inland Mission, leaving for there in February 1885. He said, I want my life to count for Christ. He wanted to live for something meaningful and important for all eternity. Of his own missionary work, C.T. Studd said this, some people want to live within the sound of a church or a chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. Between 1900 and 1906, C.T. Studd was a pastor of a church in southern India. And although it was a different situation to the pioneer missionary work he had done in China, his ministry was marked by numerous conversions amongst the British officials and local community. However, on his return home to England, C.T. Studd met a German missionary named Carl Kuhm, helped him become concerned about large parts of Africa that had never been reached with the gospel. And so in 1910, he went to Sudan, Africa, and was concerned by the lack of Christian faith in Central Africa. Out of his concern, C.T. Studd was led to set up the Heart of Africa mission. Going against the doctor's advice, C.T. Studd first visited the Belgian Congo in 1913, and he established there four mission stations in an area then inhabited by eight different tribes. Eventually, this led to the expansion of the mission into the worldwide evangelization crusade with workers in South America and Central Asia and the Middle East, as well as Africa. C.T. Studd built up an extensive missionary outreach in many parts of the world. In 1931, while still laboring for the Lord at the age of 70, C.T. Studd died. But all that he did for Christ made a huge and lasting impact for eternity. Let me share with you this poem that he wrote. It says, two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart and from my mind would not depart. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one, soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day, my Lord to meet and stand before His judgment seat. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, the still small voice, gently pleads for a better choice. Bidding me selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, a few brief years, each with its burdens, hopes, and fears, each with its purpose I must fulfill, living for self or in His will. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. When this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep in joy or sorrow, thy word to keep. Faithful and true, whate'er the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let my love with fervor burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure on thy throne. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say, thy will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I know I'll say, 'twas worth it all. Only one life will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Your end may be nearer than what you think. And in the end of your life, nothing else will really matter except what you've done for the Lord Jesus Christ.